the phrase mom guilt, I never really got it until now. And now I'm like, yeah, I'll feel guilty for being like relieved that she's asleep, which is completely bananas because
because I love sleep. You know, on my run this morning, I had the misfortune of being behind a garbage truck.
Yeah.
You know, where they stop at every house to get a garbage can.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not faster than that. And so it just felt like I would try and beat. I'd be like, all right, let me just beat this garbage truck. Mm-hmm. And then in between me and the next house, they just speed up and be right next to me. It felt like for a block or two I was just inhaling garbage and I was like, they must, it's not their fault, but I wondered if the people in the car and the truck, if they were just laughing at my misfortune.
They might have been,
because I wasn't faster than it. I think another runner would have been like, let me sprint past this garbage truck, but I'm not that good. And so I just had to eat shit, literally. I would have a moment of freedom, and then I would see them just pull up in my periphery, take that garbage can, fling it in the air. All the air around me is now stale, sweaty garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no choice if I want to survive the run, but to inhale it deeply.
So what'd you end up doing?
Inhaling it deeply.
But how did you get away from the truck?
I didn't. It was just...
You eventually did.
I made a turn that they didn't. Mm. And that was on my route anyway. I had made peace with the fact. I was like, this might be, because I was like, I'm so stupid. Why am I running on garbage day? This would be a prime day to just do weightlifting if I'm going to exercise.
You can remember that in the future.
I will. Do not run on Thursdays in this part of Los Angeles.
What a harrowing tale.
It was a harrowing tale, mm-hmm. but I'm happy that I did something for myself.
Yeah,
which is a little bit of the theme for this episode.
It is. You've been actually...
Our adjustment.
Mm-hmm. You've been really good about doing your runs almost every day.
I set a goal for myself for January to run a 50K
in total.
January. In total. Oh my God.
Not
yeah.
at one time.
Yeah. And I accidentally selected a run. I do these like guided runs. I accidentally selected a run that was 12K. It was so miserable. And I didn't realize it until after, I think I got home and I told you, because I was like, maybe Lizzie's worried about me. I've been gone for so long.
I think I was sleeping the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone was worried. What an error I have made.
Okay. I'm distracted because I got an alert on my phone that there was motion detected in Frances Field's crib. And I'm looking at her on the monitor now and her eyes are kind of blinking, but I think she's still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
She's good.
I think we have a solid hour window.
Yeah.
Not that this is going to be an hour,
no,
but I think we have a little bit more time than last week's episode, mm-hmm. which was ambushed by an immediate feeding.
Yes.
So we were thinking that for this episode of the podcast that we call Under Our Roof, by the way, my name is Grace or Semler, depending on how you know me. And to my right is...
I'm Lizzie.
And we are brand new parents of an old podcast. Or wait, we're brand new parents on an old podcast.
We have a 3-week-old baby and a 4-year-old podcast.
Yes. And we're documenting our lives as we've been doing here in this space for about 4 years. And we thought that we would round out the trilogy of Frances Fields entering our world with our thoughts right now on being parents of a newborn. And I think my exercise regimen somewhat factors into that. It's not the main thing I'd like to share, but
yeah, it does. It's like I wanted to share a little bit about like what our lives look like, what our days look like at this mm-hmm. point. And one thing that's been like a consistent mantra for me is like, she's always changing. So the good, you know, it's probably going to change. And just to be aware, like if she sleeps really, really well, that's not going to be forever. Mm-hmm. But if she sleeps poorly, that's also not forever because she is always changing. All that to be said, we are going to give you a picture of what our mm-hmm. lives look like, but it's not going to be static. Like our lives are changing all the time.
Yeah. Every day is extremely different.
Well, it's funny because every day is extremely different. And like every day feels all consuming, but also there's a lot of monotony too. There's a lot of like repeating. Like, do you know that TikTok sound that's kind of trending right now? That's like, ha 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 ha, again, ha 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 ha, again.
Again. Yeah.
That's kind of my life in some ways with like feeding her, you know, it's a lot of repeats, but it's very sweet. Also, should we talk about her name?
Have we not?
No.
I think we've shared her name.
We've shared what it is, but we saw one of our best friends last night for the first time since having her and since having Francis. And we realized she was like, yeah, I don't know the story of like where her name comes from or why you picked it. And I realized that we haven't really talked about it on here either. So sure. Should we?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's not that exciting of a story, but her first name is Francis, middle name is Fields, and then she...
We were talking about our daughter's name.
Yeah. So her name is Francis Fields Baldridge. And Francis, we both just loved from the beginning of our name search, our name discussions. That was always on both of our lists. I guess I don't really know why, other than that, like, it's just a sweet name to both of us. We like that it can be for a boy or a girl, although there's some different spellings. I was reading that apparently in like a little bit more bygone times, the different spellings, usually now it's like F-R-A-N-C-E-S for a girl and F-R-A-N-C-I-S for a boy. Usually that's how it's spelled, but I was reading that that's like relatively recent and both spellings were used interchangeably for boys and girls in the past. So yeah, we liked that it can be for any gender. I mean, any name can be for any gender, but like we've talked about on the podcast, choosing a name that we felt like could fit like a variety of people, I guess. We like that it has a lot of nicknames. We also both have family members named Francis, although she's not named directly after a family member.
The family member on my side who's named Francis or Franny for short was an alleged lesbian.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's fun.
Both the Francises in our families are no longer with us. Mine was my great aunt, and she died this last year, actually. She was 100 years old. She might have been 101 by the time she died. But anyway, it's just a sweet name. And then Fields, believe it or not, came to me in a dream. I've known or suspected since before I was pregnant with Francis that that name would be somewhere in our child's name. We were also considering it for a first name for a while. It's kind of unusual. Like, I don't actually know anyone with the name Fields, but I had a dream when we were going through IVF before I got pregnant with Francis, but like very shortly before. And in my dream, Grace and I were in the back of a car. Like, we were riding, we were being driven somewhere. We were like in a black car. Like, it was shortly after we had traveled with your family. Do you remember this in September for your brother's wedding? And your dad had rented that like big black car.
That typical Reverend Baldridge, yeah.
Yeah. And it was basically that, but I don't think your dad was driving in my dream. But it was like a black SUV. We were in the back seats being driven and we were riding like at kind of sunset hour through these like beautiful rolling fields. Like everywhere we looked out the windows with these were these golden fields like rolling around us and they were so pretty. And I remember turning to Grace and being like, we should name the baby Fields. Like, I was assuming I would get pregnant soon or hoping I would. And I was like, we should name our baby Fields. And that was the whole dream. Like, I'd never really had a dream like that. And it was like really powerful, really strong. Like, I still remember it really clearly.
Was it very vivid too?
Yes.
Did it feel very real?
Really vivid and just like very peaceful. A lot of times in my dreams, I'm trying to like work out some sort of conflict or there's like something that's kind of going wrong that I'm trying to figure out or like navigate in the dream. Mm-hmm. But with this, it was just like, it almost felt like a memory. It was like really peaceful and beautiful. And there was no like plot to the dream. It was just like riding in a car with you and like looking out at the scenery. And I love that it had like a subtle nature name feel to it because I love nature names, but a lot of them like didn't feel quite right for this baby. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to say any specific ones, but there's all kinds of nature names And we were just like, no, that's not exactly the vibe. But then Fields just felt like really serene. And I just loved it so much. So I told Grace like a day or two later, we were out at dinner and I said, hey, I had this dream. Like, what do you think about the name Fields? And you really liked it too right away. But we kind of were like, maybe for a middle name. And then we were still, up until we met Francis, considering Fields as a first name and a couple other names as well. And we ended up using it for a middle.
Mm-hmm.
So Francis Fields, there you have it. And I love how it sounds together.
Yeah, me too.
Also, I have to say one thing that's annoying me.
What?
So in the US, the way that you make possessive a name with an S on the end, I've spent time looking into this.
Is this because of a TikTok comment?
Yes.
Okay.
I forget
that you have access to my TikTok comments because I saw that comment as well.
Yeah.
And I felt like a goldfish. It just left my brain.
I don't know why it annoyed me.
Just let it be.
Anyway, somebody
can have opinions on spelling and stuff.
So there actually are kind of two correct ways, but the prevailing correct way in the United States, I'm not sure about like British English or anything else, but in the United States, the more correct way from everything I've read is F-R-A-N-C-E-S apostrophe S.
Okay.
And I think that just makes so much more sense because you say like Francis's. You don't say if you're like Francis's dog. You wouldn't say Francis dog, which is how it would be. Because some people, anyway, there was this TikTok comment that was just like, it's F.
Did I spell the name somewhere?
I don't know.
I don't think I did.
That's so weird then.
I'm trying to not. It was probably auto captions on TikTok. And
yeah,
then
maybe.
Someone just perceived a spelling.
If it was auto captions, then that proves my point further.
Lady. Do not look at TikTok comments.
That's how. Okay,
that deeply.
If you see
a little perusal now and again,
I think I just have a major.
But especially as it concerns our child, free yourself.
I know, but
free
I
yourself
think
early and do it often.
I have a major pet peeve with people like correcting grammar or spelling, and they're wrong. It like really grinds my gears.
You want me
like,
to? All right, I'll respond
no,
to that. I'll
don't
make a
respond.
Video response.
No, oh my God, do not respond to
no,
that.
No, of course not. I'm
do
joking.
Not. Anyway, to make a name that ends with an S possessive, I believe is apostrophe S, not just an apostrophe. But some people just do an apostrophe at the end. Apparently, both are sort of correct according to the internet, but apostrophe S is the prevailing way.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you have it.
I can't believe that was through scrolling on my TikTok.
Yeah, I just saw that and I was like, you're so annoying. Like,
ladies,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but like, it's not true. Like, why go out of your way to comment and correct someone if you're not 1000% sure? And if they had done a quick Google search, they would have known that they're wrong.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to delete this person's comment in case anyone goes perusing, seeing what comment perturbed you so much. They were just, I think it was just from the auto captions and they were just making a suggestion on how to spell something.
Okay, but actually this I think leads well into a further discussion about our lives right now.
Yeah.
Which is that I have a major hormone shift happening and I have a lot of emotions and sometimes the emotions are being really irritable.
I will say they are big emotions.
Yeah.
Bigger than during pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
The emotions.
Oh, yeah.
And
for sure.
You're riding the waves like a champ.
I'm doing well, I would say. Like, that's the first thing that, like, everyone asks you, like, every medical professional. They're like, how's your mood? And they, like, look at you kind of when they say it. Because everyone knows, like, there can be major mood shifts after pregnancy and postpartum. And I felt that for sure. Like, I've gotten really upset over, like, things that really don't matter. Like, I'll just give the classic example, which is when we got home from the hospital, one of my best friends sent Francis flowers. And my mom was here, and I told her all of this, by the way. This is no secret.
I don't think she listens to our podcast.
No, I don't think she does either. But if she did, it's not like I'm talking behind her back. Like, she knows all of this. My mom put the flowers in a vase and when I saw the way she put them in the vase and which vase she selected for these flowers, I saw red. Like, I could not believe, I was dumbfounded at how much I hated the way she had done these flowers. Keep in mind, I've literally pushed out a baby less than 48 hours beforehand. Mm-hmm. And you all heard the birth episode. If you haven't, go back two episodes to hear what I went through. Mm-hmm. And yet I was like shaking. I was so upset with the way these flowers were arranged and the way I was just, it's like, I couldn't even form words. So my mom is like, I'm going to go for a walk. Like she's like totally oblivious to my rage. She's like, I'm going to go for a walk. Is that okay? I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Please go. Oh, nope. Don't do anything else. Go for a walk. She leaves. I start sobbing, absolutely sobbing, ripping the flowers out of the vase, grabbing the clippers, clipping them down into fit into the vase that I wanted them to go in. Meanwhile, I think Francis is asleep during all this.
Maybe she was asleep or I was with her because you came in.
Yeah.
To see me. And I was like, are you all right? And you were like, I have had a meltdown.
Yeah. And I knew that's what it was when it was happening. I was like, okay, I'm experiencing like the largest hormone shift like known to humankind. At least that's what I've heard, is that the drop of hormones that you have after giving birth is like the largest recorded shift of hormones, or like drop of hormones that you can experience. Maybe that's not true, but that's what I've heard. It's certainly a significant one, and it makes you feel all kinds of things. So yeah, when I saw the comment about the swelling of Francis's possessive plural, or not plural, just possessive, I was not very upset. I wasn't going to cry over it, if that gives you some perspective, but like, I'm definitely like a little bit short fused more so now, but not towards Francis. Mm-hmm. That's good.
What else have you noticed about yourself in this first month of parenthood?
I feel like the mom instincts definitely are real for me. Like, I feel like I'm not scared holding her. Like, whenever I'd held babies before, I was always kind of like, felt like they were so fragile and like, you know, I had to hold them just right or I could drop mm-hmm. them or something. But I mean, obviously I'm very careful not to drop Francis, but I just feel like a confidence in how to like handle her kind of in a mm-hmm. way that just feels really, really right. Mm-hmm. It feels like definitely not that everything's easy, but that certain things are just more natural than I expected. Like changing a diaper is the easiest thing in the world to me. You know,
changing a diaper is completely fine for me as well. However, I think the angle that I achieve with her leg sometimes encourages more production from that area, which I love. Hey, get it out for sure. But that has been, I feel like I've been ambushed. This is the second time I've said ambush on this episode from a baby. But really, like, I feel like I get the most sort of surprise poop.
Yeah.
Because of the way I do it.
Something about your technique.
Something about my technique. But then she's like kind of, you know, clean as a whistle. And yeah. I think that you get more of the noises after you've changed her. Like, you'll change her mm-hmm. and then you'll be like holding her and then you'll hear a noise being like, oh, looks like there was more.
Yeah.
And I don't get that as much because for whatever reason, I elicit more production. Yeah. I know that it's the angle.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm tall. So yeah,
that's true.
The legs gotta get up there.
Frances, I think, is gonna be tall too.
I think
she has pretty long legs. She has long feet.
But yeah, so I think there are a few things that people like warn you about. I've been thinking about like the newborn phase. It reminds me a lot of like what people said after we got married.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of like propaganda.
What? Okay, explain more.
Negative propaganda.
About having a newborn?
Having a family.
Well, a family with kids.
A family with kids. Just that like everything gets worse, because it was like after we got married, people would be like, yeah, like me and so-and-so, we never fought until we got married. And huh, it's real different when you get married, and people like warning us.
Yeah.
And it never like, and you just sort of like wait, I guess, a little bit for the other shoe to drop. And it's not to say that we haven't had our challenges or that there haven't been times where we're frustrated with one another, but it just never happened in that way of like people just being like, buckle up, like, welcome to the fun suck. now that you're married. And it was a little similar, I think, with a newborn of like, huh, like, look, yeah. like laugh about it now, but you're not going to, little things of like, you're not going to care about what you wear at all when you have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You're that all that stuff goes out the window and your priorities shift for sure. But like, if I all of a sudden just stopped caring after all the years and work that I've put on myself
mm-hmm.
about my presentation and like how I meet the world and how important that is for me and like gender affirming care,
mm-hmm.
if that went out the window, someone come get me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go out the window. Like I still care. Like today, as I come to you, dear listener at home, I like picked out a little, I don't love this outfit, but like I picked out
it.
It's fine.
It's a good outfit.
I would, it has pearl buttons. Otherwise I would crop this shirt, but with pearl buttons, I just can't bring myself to crop a shirt with such ornate detail.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's not the exact fit that I would like for a shirt, but you like, I still made an effort to do that because I'm just going to feel more on top of it as I care for Francis today, because I'm wearing something that like makes me feel good. And that's just me. It's different for every person, but like little things that I felt like there was like this propaganda of like, once you have a baby, like say bye to your friends.
Yeah. I think it's kind of both, like all the things that people say about like your life just changes overnight is completely true.
Yes.
And like every single thing about life feels different in a lot of ways, but at the same time, like life goes on, and if you really want to like take a shower that day or put on a certain outfit, like most of the time I feel like you can make it happen. It's one of those things where it's like you can't have everything, but you can have some things.
Correct.
And so I don't mean to suggest like if you have a newborn and you like just do not feel like you can take a shower that you're doing something wrong, but if like the one thing that you want to do that day is take a shower, like you probably still can. And I hope that in saying that, I'm like not scaring. I'm trying to intentionally like seem hopeful that having a newborn is not like you literally have no life. But I do want to say something. I feel like this episode is going to feel so scattered because my brain is a little scattered right now.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to say, I probably should have prefaced the whole thing with this, is that like having both of us be able to be home right now is the reason for a lot of what I'm going to say, like is the reason why I think both of us are like, okay, we can do this
because we have each other.
Yeah. And I do think that like if one partner or both have to go back to work right away, that's a lot more challenging. Grace is planning on doing more work sooner than I am. Like I'm taking off the whole like winter and spring, basically most of the spring. And Grace is going to play a show next month and work on recording the album and all kinds of exciting things. And so I'm going to start to get a taste of like doing more stuff on my own, but I'll be more, Francis will be a bit older, more on a little bit more of a sleep schedule, maybe. We'll see, TBD. And so I'm hoping it'll be easier, but right now I'm so grateful to have us both home full time. Makes a big difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah. Actually, the one thing I'll talk about that I feel like has been like the hack that we figured out, I feel like every social media account focused on parents is like hacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using that lingo, but it's not really a hack. It's just like how we're doing life right now, which is I just like sleep as long as I want in the morning. But what I mean by that is it is punctuated by feeding Frances whenever she wants. So I often don't get out of bed for the day till like around 11 a.m., but I will have like from 10 or 11 p.m. been feeding her every 3 hours, roughly. Like sometimes it's 4 now. Sometimes she's sleeping for like a 4-hour stretch. Sometimes it's like 1.5 for some odd reason. She's just like, I'm hungry. I mean, that's totally normal. Like I've learned that that's very, very normal for a newborn. But usually like the first long stretch of night is like 3-4 hours. And so because of that, I'm like losing 30 minutes of sleep every 3 hours and not having like unbroken sleep. So I'll just kind of keep sleeping in. Like if I feed her at like 7-8 and I'm tired, I'll go back to sleep for another 3 hours. And then she wakes up and wants to eat again. And so I'm like, feel like I miss half the day because I sleep in, but then Grace is up because you're not feeding her at night. Like you'll often wake up and be like, hey, everything good. We're all sleeping in the same room. But like if I'm just nursing her, you sleep because it's just quiet. I'm reading my Kindle mm-hmm. and you are sleeping. And then you have rested better at night. So you get up in the morning and take the dogs out. And I'm sleeping during all this time. You'll go for a run while I'm sleeping.
I can do like the opening and closing shifts on the house.
Exactly. And so that's worked really well. By the time I actually am like, okay, I'm ready to get up, Grace brings me breakfast in bed, usually while I'm like nursing Francis the last time of the morning. And then I'm like, okay, I actually feel pretty rested. Cause I think I never count because I don't want to like psych myself out, but I think I'm getting like 9 hours of sleep or so. It's just broken up.
I mean, I just think that Francis is like the sweetest thing. She's just like the cutest little thing, and she's growing really fast, and all of it feels really wonderful and important and something that like something that I like want to take seriously, but also have a lot of fun with her. And I don't know. I think it just feels really different than how I had seen it represented on social media to me at this point.
I agree with that. And I also think everyone's journey is just really different.
Yes.
That's, I think so far as babies go, we've had kind of an easy baby. Don't you think?
I think so. It almost feels sometimes like she knows we're first time parents.
Yeah.
And so she'll be like, listen, like we're all figuring this out.
I almost like hesitate. I feel like I'm summoning some kind of like energy by being like, we have such an easy baby. So knock on wood.
Right. But and like, it would be fine if things change and shit. Cause every day
they will,
is really different in like her alertness and what she's learning. And I'm just excited for all the changes. I'm just excited for all of it. And my sleep is really different. Your sleep is really different.
My sleep is really different. It's like I did have a moment for sure of really grieving once it hit me. Like, you will not sleep through the night for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember like the first night home from the hospital really feeling that, like, I mean, I knew that, but I feel like until you are confronted with it and you're like, this is my reality, it doesn't feel quite real. And then you're like, wow, like I should say also, like, that doesn't have to be your situation if you choose to not have it. Like,
mm-hmm.
One of the first nights I like kind of looked into like, would I want to hire a night nurse? Like, I hear about people hiring night nurses for their babies so that they can sleep. But the problem is, if you want to breastfeed, you really can't ever sleep through the night at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like know all of these things, but basically you would have to replace breastfeeding with pumping, or else your supply will go down, especially at the beginning. As you have more of an established supply and like you've been nursing for longer, then I understand that like you can kind of take breaks or like change things up. But at the beginning, like we're only 3 weeks in, I couldn't like pump and have bottles for Grace to give her and then like that night just sleep for 8 hours straight, because then I would be sending signals of like, we don't need to make as much milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just simply not an option for me to.
Well, and also the cost as well.
What, of having a night nurse?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, for sure. I just was like curious, like what would that look like? How does it work if you have a night nurse? And then I was looking into it and I was like, I feel like this only really makes sense if you're formula feeding, which is a great choice for many people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're doing right now. So I was like, it doesn't even if I wanted out of desperation to be like, let's just hire someone so that I can sleep through the night, it doesn't make sense for what we're doing. Like, I literally don't know. It wouldn't make any sense because mm-hmm. I'm the one feeding her at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where I went with this. Oh, just that like, people do sleep through the night with a newborn because you can hire help. I mean, if it's an option for you, or have family help or come in or whatever.
Yeah.
So people can sleep through the night, but I'm just not right now.
Randomly. So I am fascinated by how our algorithms are different and mm-hmm. what sort of newborn content you get versus me.
Yeah.
Because I do get a lot of sort of, I think a little bit of like negativity or just like, you know, this is not, I don't like this phase of my life, which I think is really valid, but a little disheartening for me because I am not experiencing that feeling. And sometimes I like wonder, I'm like, am I doing this like wrong? Like, should I be feeling more sad or something. I don't know.
No, there's plenty of people that feel the same way.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, just so I get some of that. And then I also get bizarre baby content. Like I got did you know that Travis Barker used to have a reality show called Meet the Barkers with his ex-wife, Shanna Mochler? Follow
this
me.
Rings
Stay
a
with
bell.
Me on this one. So she had a night nurse, and that was like, it was like an episode of when like one of their little kids, who's now like fully a social media personality. So mm-hmm. this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Her touching base with the night nurse at breakfast that morning about like, oh, how'd she sleep? Like, how'd she do? What, like, how was the feeding? All this stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it just came across my feed because that's the stage that we're at, except we're doing it. And it was really interesting to imagine checking in with someone about like, hey, how'd Francis do?
Yeah.
You know, not that there's nothing wrong if with whatever that path is, but it just felt so bizarre of imagining kind of waking up and being like, oh, she eat well? How was that? What was her change like? Or anything to report with the night nurse?
I know that would be a very different experience. It's kind of hard to imagine, to be honest, because as much as I am like kind of relieved when she goes to sleep, which then I feel kind of guilty about, like sometimes I'm like, when she takes a nap, and then I'm like, wait, why do I want her to be asleep? Shouldn't I want her to be awake and hang out with her? But that's kind of like a little mind trip that I feel like a lot of parents experience, where you just feel guilty. Like the phrase mom guilt, I never really got it until now. And now I'm like, yeah, I'll feel guilty for being like relieved that she's asleep, which is completely bananas. Because
yeah, I love sleep.
Yeah, she also needs sleep. She very much needs good quality sleep right now for mm-hmm. her little brain development. Like mm-hmm. it's super important. So I should be like, I'm so happy for my daughter being healthy and sleeping. But I feel like guilty in a way that I'm like, happy that she's asleep even though, because the reason I'm happy she's asleep is because I get a little break or I can go back to sleep, not because I'm like happy that her brain is developing, even though I am. But in the moment, like, yeah, the reason why I'm like is because I'm like, okay, I can now take a shower or I can go back to sleep or take a nap or whatever, or record a podcast, which is what we're doing. We're entering work right now. 29, it's time for babies. Any guy from church will do. Honey, I would never blame you for the forks you choose. Honey, I would never blame you. Oh, it's all you.
We will have plenty of times when we will need to call in reinforcements. Mm-hmm. And if we're not feeling it right now, then there's no shame in what we're doing and figuring it out between the three of us, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I say between the three of us. I mean, Frances isn't really doing anything.
No, but she's part of the team.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's an odd member of the team. She requires the most help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that right now is an interesting phase also, because she is starting to be like more awake and more alert. And she, at the beginning, she literally just ate and slept and of course like went to the bathroom, but she did that while eating or sleeping for mm-hmm. the most part. Like sometimes she's fully asleep during a diaper change. I can tell she's like just not with us, and that's great. Like good for her. But she's starting to be more awake to the world, but she still like can't hold her head up fully and is like kind of just a little potato. Mm-hmm. So it's an in-between phase where she's not like totally just like a sleepy newborn doing nothing but eating and sleeping, but she can't really interact yet. And she isn't at the developmental point where she can even like directly react to people. Like she doesn't like giggle yet. Mm-hmm. That's normal. She kind of smiles, but like it's more of a reflex.
When does giggling start?
I think like a few more weeks, but maybe it's longer than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've heard that they start to like smile specifically in response to people and things at like 6 weeks.
Okay.
So it'd be 3 more weeks from now.
Because I feel like I've been crushing it with some of my bits recently, and yeah. I'm ready to receive my reward. I can tell she's engaged.
Yes, she's very engaged with you specifically. Like, she really gets like enthralled by you, I can tell, and she's like entertained. But I don't think she has like the muscle coordination yet to smile in response to that.
Her loss, yeah. Really. Her
but
loss.
She will.
Yeah,
she'll get there.
She will. She'll get there.
Yeah, she's doing really well. We do tummy time and she's like holding up her head a little bit already. And she's just the best.
What other thoughts do you have on becoming a parent before our producer disrupts us, as I can tell he wants to do?
Yeah, he's always popping off. In a lot of ways right now, I feel like I was saying this to someone else in person, but I can't remember who it was. We've had like a few visitors come through, which has been really nice. But I feel like Francis and I are like a little anemone. And is that how you say it?
Anemone?
Yeah. Anemone? Anemone? You know the thing?
Anemone?
I think it's anemone.
Oh, I hate
but you know what I'm saying.
It's like from SpongeBob or something.
I'm thinking specifically Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah.
Like a clownfish and an anemone. Anemone. Anyway.
An anemone.
I feel like we're...
An anemone.
Anemone. Anyway, I'm sure people listening to this are screaming with the correct one. But anyway, I feel like that's how we are, like her and I. We're like a little symbiotic pair right now. Like we almost are like the same person still. Mm-hmm. And it's like so weird to me that I grew her. Like I think about that all the time looking at her. I'm like, how did you grow in me? And like a little tiny version of you was like with us in Finland this summer.
Yeah.
And like on our Cabo trip. And when we moved into this house, like she was there the whole time. It's so crazy to think that.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like she's only been in this house for 3 weeks, but she's been here as long as we have.
Yeah.
She was with us the day we bought the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's just it's like I can't really wrap my head around that. But I think right now I don't really want to reclaim like being my own separate person.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'll get there, because I hear about people saying like, you know, make sure to have your own hobbies still and like have you time. But honestly, because of how she's still eating like every 2 or 3 hours and I'm breastfeeding her, it's actually like very stressful to be away from her for any time. Mm-hmm. Like I was making a doctor's appointment for something else like routine, and it's like in a couple weeks from now, and I'm already like, ugh, I guess I could bring her in theory, but
we can all go.
Yeah, but it's like I just don't want to be away from her, and not even for like a anxiety reason. Like it's not that I'm like, she won't be safe or something. It's just that I'm like, it's so inconvenient to be away from her because I'm her food source and we just are like symbiotic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like really special. I think I'm just soaking in the fact that I feel like I have like a little... like a little Kanga. Like I have like my little Joey, mm-hmm. You know, like she's just like my little offspring, you know?
Yeah, she is.
It's very strange, but like, it's very magical and special. And so I am doing things for me. The main thing that I'm doing is reading a ton of novels. I read like a novel every couple days, honestly, which has been really fun. I got a Kindle. I shared about this on Instagram, but I never thought I would want a Kindle. And I bought one within 2 days of starting my nursing journey because I didn't want to just like be on my phone, but I need something to keep my mind awake because I don't want to fall asleep nursing her and like not be safe about it. So I now read books on my Kindle and it's really fun. That's like my little hobby. But aside from that, I just want to like be in this cozy time together. Like,
yeah.
I think wanting to have my own thing going on will return, but not yet. And yeah. I'm okay with that.
Well, sometimes I've reminded you, like there was one night when you'd had some rough sleep, like, you know, she hadn't really gone down for that long. And I hope it's helpful for you when I can tell you, like, the only thing you need to do today is take care of yourself and Francis and let mm-hmm. me know how I can facilitate that. There is nothing else that needs to be done that requires your attention beyond just that. And I think that that's especially like while we're inside of the 6-week window, you're still so freshly postpartum. Mm-hmm. I hope that that can be, I guess, a little like comforting of like, there's just nothing else. There doesn't need to be anything else. And it's nice in some ways to have a newborn around the holidays, because January, I saw a TikTok that was like, when people try and make plans with me in January, I'm like, January, like the darkness still has me. Like, you need to come back at the end of February, maybe mid-March, if you really want to see a person, because yeah. like we're still recovering. It's still mm-hmm. the winter. And yeah. I hope that you're able to maybe lean into some of that stillness that is natural to the season to just tend to yourself and Francis. Like, all we got to do is hang out with each other and, you know, help be there for Francis, help her grow and watch Grey's Anatomy and talk about how Seattle Grace would have had so many lawsuits. It would have been an investigative podcast about everything that went wrong there.
Yeah. So we recently decided to start watching Grey's Anatomy from the very beginning. I've never really watched it. I've seen like a handful of like the key episodes. Like, I know about Izzy like marrying the patient, and yep. I know about Meredith like holding the bomb inside someone for like 12 hours or something.
What?
Yeah. Wasn't that a plot point?
Holding but, a bomb?
Yes, there was like a bomb inside someone's body and she had to like hold it really steady for like forever or else it would go off or something. That had to like wait for the bomb squad. I don't know.
Meredith?
I'm pretty sure.
Man, is that coming up?
Again, probably people are like screaming the correct plot point okay. who actually know about Grey's Anatomy. But most of what I know from Grey's Anatomy is from the many, many like parodies on SNL and other things mm-hmm. of like key scenes that they've had, but I never like sat down and watched the series. But it's been really nice to just have a show that like when we just want to like watch something for 20 minutes in bed before we fall asleep while mm-hmm. Francis is sleeping, we can be like, want to just turn on Grey's.
Yeah,
it's been really cozy. And I do feel like I'm leaning into like the darkness and coziness of winter. I actually was kind of worried about having a baby in winter because I tend to get like a little bit of the winter blues. But I actually think it's kind of perfect because it's really just like, I feel so good about being such a homebody right mm. now. And I think that it's going to be hard when I have to go back to work. And there's probably going to be a lot of emotions around that. But I'm going to be going back to work like around June.
Yeah.
And then the days are the longest. And I think that'll help me mentally with that transition.
Yes.
I think it's kind of perfect.
Yes, it is kind of perfect. And Francis, if you happen to be listening to this in the future, which I think is a cool thought that like she mm-hmm. might rediscover some of the media around her birth that we made, that we are just so happy that you're here and nothing about your arrival has sucked for me. And it's really been a very sweet time to have you here in our home. And we're figuring it all out and it's a real pleasure to do so. Thank you for your patience. Truly, thank you for your patience. Sorry if I revealed too much about your diaper changing, but I think that by the time you'd be listening to this, we can all kind of look back and laugh.
Oh, yeah. My mom loves to tell stories about me like pooping in her hair and stuff by accident.
Pooping in her hair?
Yeah, apparently she like leaned down to grab something one time while doing a diaper change, which is her fault.
I would say that's it's very never unwise. The baby's fault.
Very yeah. unwise move. Leaning down to get something with a bare butt mm-hmm. around? Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have any parting thoughts on parenthood or was that what you were going to say?
I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, I'm just enjoying it, figuring it all out, adjusting to it all. And if I am able to run a 50K in my first full month of being a parent, then I'm going to feel pretty accomplished.
I know, that's pretty good. I'm excited to like probably go for a jog. I was going to say run. Maybe we'll start with a light jog.
Light, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to like, not, I don't know, this is another podcast. We don't need to get too derailed. I know we're about to wrap up, but I'm not like trying to get my pre-baby body back, but I'm excited to like be able to do more stuff with my body because
yeah.
for so many months, like I was doing fertility treatments and they would tell me like no strenuous exercise because you have like your ovaries are enlarged from taking all these hormones for IVF. And then in your first trimester, you're like kind of nervous to do a lot and then you don't feel that great. And then like in your third trimester, you can barely move and you're so swollen. And so I just feel like it's been like a year that I haven't really been able to just like do a yoga video on YouTube in my living room if I want.
Right.
I mean, I could have done that for sure at certain points, but at other points I just like wasn't feeling up to it. So I'm excited after my 6-week postpartum appointment to like incorporate certain things back in and just kind of like, you know, have my body kind of just be mine other than breastfeeding. But like, it's no one's house for a little bit.
It's no one's first apartment.
Yeah.
I think that sounds fair. Yeah. Well, that's going to round it up for the trilogy of Francis's entrance into the world and into our lives. And we promise that the next episode will be about something totally different. Actually, it's going to be about something that you all want to know about, because I think it's time that we do a Q&A. So yeah, that'll be next week on the podcast that we call
Under Our Room. And
shining more brightly each day. I love you, I love you, I love you, my dear, in a sweet old-fashioned way.